Love Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but find you.
To let me know that you are going to support me in that. And the call-in number for this morning is 646-915-8166. I want you to please keep the calls coming in. And I am hoping to have the chat room up and running momentarily. And the website for you to join us on for the chat is www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne Clark with an E Hudson, Daphne-Clark-Hudson. So we are going to be rocking and rolling this morning, because especially at this time of the year, the first segment we are dealing with is so fitting. The first segment we will deal with this morning is a day in the life of a personal chef. Chef Carl, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Daphne?
I'm wonderful. How did I do on the pronunciation of your name?
My first name is actually said Khalil.
Khalil.
Yes, Khalil. Ma'am.
Okay. And I know we were having a bit of staticness before. Are you able to hear me better now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you. So what is life like down there in New Jersey? What's the snow doing?
Well, we just got, I guess some in my area, about 22, 23 inches of snow. So that was good and bad. I guess good for me because I got to get a day off, so I got to rest up a little bit. But bad in the sense that I still had to shovel all that snow. So,
I know if I was happy to have you on that day.
Say that one more time.
Huh?
You faded out a little bit on me. I'm sorry.
No, I said I'm happy. I know the family was happy to have you home on that day to help with the decorating of the tree.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, let me thank you so much for taking time out at this busy time of the year to spend with my listeners and myself. We greatly, greatly appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on as a guest.
Yes. Will you please introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell them as much as you want them to know about you, about your beginning. How did you get started? Not in the business you are now, but tell them a little bit about your story, because we all have stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it started when I was around probably the age of 12 or 13. I actually couldn't wait to get home off the bus from school, because my aunt was an avid baker, and all the kids used to like to, you know, go over to my aunt's house, because she would bake, I mean, three or four different kind of cookies and two and three different kind of cakes, everything kids love. And she would do this just about every day. That was always something to look forward to when you got off of school. That kind of inspired me a little bit, seeing how everybody could come together, have a good time. Food has a tendency to do that to folks. And I started experimenting with some stuff at home and, you know, doing some of my mom's recipes that she cooked, and slowly got into the restaurant industry.
Can I stop you a bit? I want for you to have the listeners get to know you before you go into your business of the restaurant and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about, you know, where you're from, where you're born, and that kind of thing. Because I want the listeners to understand that you're a normal person who has excelled.
Right.
So let them get to know you intimately, and then we'll go into the business.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, actually born and raised in the city of Camden, New Jersey. Lived there all my life. The age of, I guess, 15, we moved from Camden to Pennsauken, and I finished up high school and everything in Pennsauken, but throughout most of my years, grew up in the city of Camden. Raised by a single mom, me and my brother. She's done an outstanding job. I still commend her to this day and highly respect her for allowing us to know what values were and not to get caught up in the quote-unquote street life that we grew up in. You know, she always stuck true to showing us hard work and dedication and separating yourself from others, and that's one of the leadership qualities that I still and always will respect to this day about her.
Yes.
From there, graduated, like I said, from Pennsauken High. and that's in, located in New Jersey as well. And from there, went into the military. Mm-hmm. And after military, got married, have two wonderful children and a wonderful wife, and that's it.
Oh, well, wonderful. Because, you know, a lot of times, a lot of times we see people who are successful, and, you know, people tend to use the phrase that they just get it overnight. And it's really not true. A lot of times our overnights is like 15, 30, 35, and 40 years of commitment.
Right.
And dedication to what we do. So I always love to set the stage so the listeners understand that all my guests are ordinary people who have done extraordinary things in their lives. So I thank you for setting the stage.
Thank you.
I also want to remind the callers that are on the line, and I have to tell you, you have lit up the board, so that's a good thing. If they have a question or comment, a remark, if they raise their hands, then I know they want to talk. If they do not do that, then I think they are just listening. So please alert me if you do have a question. So now, you like food. Auntie always cook and bake, and all road leads to Auntie's house. And you got a love for cooking. But you went into the military even though you had a love for cooking. Why was this so?
Well, I actually went into the military, and that's what I did while in the military. Became and trained as a chef in the military. Prior to me going to the military, I worked in a few restaurants. And make a long story short, originally I had wanted to go to school to be an accountant. And I got accepted at Drexel University. And back when I graduated, computers were just becoming the hot thing. So we didn't really have all the capabilities like the Google and the Yahoo searches that we have now. So I was unable to get any scholarship funding. So from there, my next decision was I can either work and go to school at the same time, or I was offered the opportunity to not only learn a skill but get an opportunity to serve my country and travel a little bit. So hence I joined the U.S. Army. And while I'm there, got a chance to work with some pretty good chefs that taught me some things that they knew, picked up my own style and techniques while I did that, while I was there. Also worked in a few hotels and restaurants along with a few other chefs while I was in the military, so it was a good experience.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, that was a smart move on your side, because you could have sat around and said, well, I don't have the funding to go to Johnson & Wales or Hyde Park or any of those other renowned culinary schools. But you knew the Army had money. You know the Army had some good chef, and you say, hey, I'm getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
I am finding a way, and you made it happen for you. And right there you were exposed to some of the best culinary art, if you may.
Yes.
So then how long did you spend in the military?
I actually spent 5.5 years in the military. My first duty station was Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I moved out to the middle of the United States to Fort Riley, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like you see on TV, The Wizard of Oz. It is flat, and you get all those hurricanes and all that stuff out there.
Yeah.
And after leaving there, my final duty station was Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Let me ask you, Chef, on those bases, how many people you cook for per day?
Well, that's a good question. On average, we would cook for about 4,500 people for breakfast. Lunchtime, my numbers would go up anywhere between 4,800 and 5,200 people for lunch. And then the dinner hour would always be the slowest hour because people would go out to restaurants and stuff. So our numbers dropped down to a low number of about 1,200 people for dinner.
Wow. So.
And that was 7 days a week.
Oh, my heavens. So it is like a walk in the park for you now as a personal chef.
I would say so.
it's like a walk in the park. But if and when you are called to do a banquet, that again is going to be chicken feed. You're just going to chew it up and spit it out because you are accustomed to be working with huge numbers of people.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, so let us fast forward to... No, before we fast forward, you went into the army, you became a chef, you came out, you were doing the restaurant business, but then... There was a time when you said, oh, no, I don't want this. I need to be in a suit and tie. Forget the white coat and the black coat and the hat and all of that stuff. I need me
right.
a suit and tie.
Right.
And
that point in my life, I actually, when I got out, I tried some different areas because I had done the fine dining for a while and I wanted to kind of increase my speed a little more, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into the fast food service side a little bit. I actually managed the Papa John's for a little while. Didn't like that. Moved from there to Bob Evans restaurant. That was okay experience. I learned some good stuff there. From there, I moved to Don Pablo's, worked with that organization for quite a while, and got my feet wet with some Mexican cuisine and some good stuff there. And then I guess the turning point was when I worked for Lone Star Steakhouse and Saloon. I was pretty much putting in anywhere from, I don't know, about 80 to 120 hours a week throughout the work week, and it seemed like none of my efforts were being recognized by the corporation, no matter how much money I saved or how much additional revenue or things I turned around. So it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and I felt burned out at the same time. So I decided I was going to get out of the industry altogether. And if I was to ever do it again, I would only do it for myself. But at that point, it didn't look good for me to be in the food industry anymore. I actually went to work for the bank.
Right. So let's talk about what it was like for you when you went to the bank.
At first, it was different because I'm used to, you know, the everyday hustle and grind that you get in this industry with, you know, serving people, talking to people, coming up with different creative ideas to increase my sales. So it was a different challenge. And one of the things that I tell people all the time is it was actually about a $40,000 pay cut for me to drop down to the bank because I went into bank with no banking knowledge and actually you know got hired to be a customer service rep.
So you were flat down on the floor. They talk about being at the ground level, but you were flat out on the ground.
Exactly. One of the things that I thank God for all the time is that I failed to mention prior to me leaving the restaurant industry, I was always really good with computers and studied computers and, you know, took some computer classes.
Mm-hmm.
And while in the banking industry, I happened to walk by a lady one day, and she was having a problem with her computer. And it was probably about 30 to 40 days after I was in the bank, and I helped her fix her computer. I had no idea that she was a high-level vice president, and she actually hired me to go into her department a couple days later. So that kind of put me a little bit closer to, you know, where I left off. mm-hmm. with that huge pay cut.
Right.
And from that point, I got to work in her area and created some different manuals and some different
mm-hmm.
training for the group.
Mm-hmm.
And it was another guy who worked in another area who discovered the contribution I made to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, all this transpired within about 7.5 months. And after that 7.5 months, I was actually right back at the same pay scale that I took a leap of faith on leaving from the food industry.
But
I only share that because of, you know, the things that are going on in the economy today.
Exactly.
To tell people, you know, to sometimes you got to step down and step up.
Exactly. And isn't it amazing how God operates?
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
He instructs us with different things, and he sits back to see how obedient we are going to be. And
indeed.
Sometimes some of these instructions appear in a kind of turmoil situation.
Mm-hmm.
But through it all, sometimes, as you say, you have to step down to step up. You have to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But you went there, and I'm sure during those times, you sharpened a lot of skills that you probably had lying dormant that
right.
now propels you into the life that you are now doing as a personal chef. Because
yes.
although you have those huge numbers of people in the military, that was the military. You came out, you were in the fast food restaurants and pizza restaurant and all of that. That was
mm-hmm.
a different segment of the community. But now
right.
you are in the bank. You are exposed to real diversity in ethnicity, in culture, in demographics, in economical structure and all of that. So that
mm-hmm.
journey and that portion of your life was well worth it. And I am so pleased that you took the time to share this for the listeners to hear. No experience in life is ever wasted. We should always
That's
learn
true.
From that.
That's so true.
Well, thank you so much for doing all of that and for investing in the listeners. We have 37 minutes remaining. Let us now go to the task at hand.
Okay.
Life of a personal chef. What's a typical day like for you?
Well, typically I like to start my day the night before, if that makes any sense. And in doing so, I carry around three things with me all the time. I have three notebooks that are probably about 3 inches wide, maybe about 5.5 inches tall, and on each of the notebooks I have labeled them personal, spiritual, and business. And I try to make it a habit that every night that I write something that I want to accomplish that next day in those notebooks, so that kind of keeps me grounded and focused on which areas that I need to focus on that day. But I do that the night before.
Can I
and,
say something to you, Chef?
Sure.
We ladies, we don't call that notebook. We call it journal. So you can call it journal, too, because that's what
okay.
they are.
Okay. So my three journals.
Okay. Because, hey, you guys you think it's kind of too feminist. But that's what they are. They are your journals.
Right. Well, I actually learned that technique in the military, you know, to carry that book and write everything down and keep
mm-hmm.
you focused. So.
Yep. It keeps you focused and everything. So that's your journal.
Right. Thank you for that.
Okay.
So I actually make it a habit to write down in my journal every evening, what my focus points are going to be for that next day.
Mm-hmm.
And typically once I get that done, I do some light reading, and then I go into wake up in the morning and just plan my day, my attack, you know, what things I need to accomplish for that day, whether it be to reach out to any clients I haven't heard from over the last 30 days or so, you know, I'll make a phone call or shoot an email to them, see how they're doing, you know, see if they're in need of any type of cooking tips or, you know, anything, just to check on them.
And I tell you something, I was not very happy with you last night. Because
what happened last night?
You tweet that you were making what kind of shrimp? And I'm saying, man.
Oh, I did the gumbo.
The gumbo shrimp. Oh, come on. You know, I said, don't be tweeting that for folks who ain't making that. I started salivating. I started drooling. And I'm listening for the doorbell to ring at any time. I said, maybe he would consider sending me some via FedEx.
So that means the tweets are working then.
Yes, 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 it is. It is, my brother. Just had to get that in. So, as a personal chef, you don't necessarily have an assignment every day.
Correct. I deal with some athletes. So one of the biggest challenges, I guess, to speak, when you're dealing with athletes, is a lot of times they're on the road or they're on the go. They need you kind of like on demand. So one of the things that I do to help offset that is one of my greatest focuses for 2010 is actually to get scheduled at a few speaking engagements, as well as I'm starting a culinary cooking camp for children.
I noticed so that. I don't want you to go into that yet, though.
Okay.
So, as a personal chef, do you cook at your establishment and then deliver, or you go cook at your client's home?
Both.
Okay.
Just depends on the client's needs and
okay.
my comfort level with their kitchen.
Yes.
Because everybody doesn't have the greatest kitchen.
Tell me about it.
So one of the things that I like to do prior to me even accepting an assignment is I'll schedule what I call an in-house interview.
That's right.
So I'll go and, you know, confirm their needs, you know, any dietary problems they may have, any food allergies, anything of that sort, and then
right.
I have a form that I use, and I also bring my camera.
That's right.
And I, you know, take a little assessment of the kitchen, look at the refrigerator, and take pictures and all that stuff, just as a safety precaution for myself, because I got to keep it real here. Everybody's not honest.
That's right.
So I don't ever want to be accused of tearing someone's stuff up. So just as a best business practice, I do that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if I don't feel as though that the kitchen is going to be able to be up to standard, then what I'll do is I'll just offer them that I can go ahead and prepare everything in my commercial kitchen and then, you know, deliver for the client.
Yes, 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 because whatever environment you are going to be producing in need to embrace your values and morals. So
absolutely.
Although our kitchen is going to be up to stuff for us, it's probably just not embracing what you are doing. So we don't want anybody to take it personal up there. It's just the chefs need a lot of space to spin and weave things and do what they got to do. I think we all should have a personal chef, you know?
I think it's mandatory that everybody have a personal chef on speed dial.
That's a wonderful thing because, you know, with all the legacies we are looking to create in life, we have to make sure that all aspects of who we are is well maintained and attended to. And especially what we put on the inside of us, we have
Correct.
To be more cautious. It was just day before yesterday, I was speaking with someone about being born into a farming family. And I said, back then, growing up in Jamaica, we had no understanding about organic foods. But when I grew up and here in the United States and all of that, now I understand that my father was indeed an organic farmer.
That's Absolutely.
And that's the food I grew on. So I tell people, man, I have a solid, solid base.
Right. And it's funny that you mentioned, I was actually talking to somebody about that the other day. And I look at organic food as the new marketing twist. Because, like you said, my grandpa had been growing food like that for years.
Exactly.
No chemicals, and the only reason he didn't use chemicals is because he couldn't afford them.
That's right.
So, we were eating organic back then and didn't know until 20-some-odd years later that it was organic.
That somebody started branding it and marketing it. Because I remember my dad never used fertilizer and anything like that. But whatever they peel off the staples and anything that was a waste from the kitchen, that was tossed in the garden. You know?
Right.
The leaves and everything like that. And it's amazing when we look back now and we say, my God, we did not appreciate the things that really contribute to the quality of lives that we have now and endure right now.
Right.
So let us talk about some of the palates that have tested your food.
Well, I have had the pleasure, I guess most recently, about a month or so ago, I got an opportunity to feed Bishop T.D. Jakes. I actually run the catering company for my church, who hosts several functions a month, and we get a lot of pastors. We get a lot of pastors all over the world that my pastor invites in. Bishop David G. Evans invites in. So I got a chance to feed Creflo Dollar. Had an opportunity to also feed J. Anthony Brown. Phil Hurts, a songwriter, I fed him, as well as retired NBA player, Never Nervous, Purvis Ellison. Mm. Also have one of my newest clients is Devin Harris of New Jersey Nets. And that's just a few of them.
All right now. So, hey, listen, y'all, you know you're talking to the best. Would you ask someone to give you some water so you can keep your throat moist?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to just throw that out there because, you know, everybody know a little name dropping is good, but you're not only dropping the names. You are feeding them and keeping them healthy.
Yes, ma'am.
So let us, we have 27 minutes remaining on your episode. Let us talk about some of the things we can look for from you in the future.
Well, my three next big projects for 2010 is I'm in the process of a cookbook that's going to due to be released the summer of 2010. Mm-hmm. I'm also doing, as I mentioned earlier, the kids' culinary cooking camp, which I'm targeting either mid July. Early July for that program to run of 2000.
Yeah, because they're going to be on the summer vacation.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also in conjunction with the cookbook, I will be coming out with my barbecue sauce line.
All right. Well, you know, you got to bribe me to taste the sauce and use the book so you can come back on the show, huh?
Absolutely.
It's just amazing. I just want to congratulate you and all the things that you are doing, because our young people need to once again see role models in their communities. Yes,
right.
Yes, the rappers are great. Some of them need to clean up their mouths. And the athletes are amazing, but they need to understand that if they have a passion for landscaping, they can follow through on that passion with all that they have got in them and become successful. If they have a passion for cooking, they can pursue that and become creative in branding themselves. So I don't want the kids to sit and think that I have to play ball or I have to be a musician in order to do good and to excel. You can be whatever is in your heart so long as you follow through with value and integrity.
That's right.
And you maintain morals, because that is what it is all about. I remembered, I think it was about maybe 5 years ago, I was at an event up in Jamaica, Queens, with the Fraser mm-hmm. Net organization. And a little young man came to me with a typed up business card. And he was so tiny. And when he told me his age, I did not believe him. But he was talking to me about all the business and everything that he was doing at the time. He was mm-hmm. there with his teacher. And then earlier on in this year, I was looking at a TV program. I think it's called The Wall Street Project or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the young man, and they're talking about having a trunk sale in Macy's with his tie that he designed. And I said, you go, because I remember him back then. And I said, this young man is going somewhere. So kids only need encouragement. And I beseech parents, or guardians, or neighbors, when you see a skill or a talent in a young person, please, please encourage them to follow through, because they need the support and the encouragement. They need that.
Exactly.
They need
exactly.
that.
And that's one of the things that, you know, like I said, I run the organization for my church's catering facility. And one of the things that I instantly done once I came on board was to get more young folks involved with that ministry that I had there, because they're the future, and I tell everybody all the time the same thing. It's not about me, and I know you mentioned on the call, you know, that the beginning of the call about me being successful, but my measure of success in my eyes and my vision is how many lives I can impact while I'm here and as well as I'm gone, because mm-hmm. the true measure of a man is if you can make generational change and not just what I call showtime change, because some people have the wrong motives and they're looking to do this thing for spotlight. If you got the true heart of a servant mm-hmm. and you want to help God's people, it's not being exalted by man. It's actually behind the scenes work, and you know, just making sure that you're guiding people and giving people the core values of good work ethics and good personal ethics, so that they can excel and do the same thing, actually duplicate themselves, just as Jesus tried to do with the disciples.
Exactly, because you know, servant leadership is one investment that always gain dividends, and mm-hmm. the legacies that we create speaks volume about who we are, because you and I share the sentiment. Yes, it's good to have the money, it's good to have the success, but the lives that we touch each day is what speaks a greater volume about who you are, your quality and your caliber of person. Because if you are not touching any lives,
mm-hmm.
you need to go back to the drawing board and remodel what you're doing.
That's correct.
It is about people. How are you impacting people? I was talking a couple of years ago with a woman who is in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And she had actually switched careers. And I saw her at church, and we were speaking, because I was so excited about her new career. And every time I would ask her, oh, I'm not making no money. I ain't making no money. And after the fourth time she said that to me, I said to her, I called her by her first name, and I said, you know why you're not making any money? Because the people see that you're only into their pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you show people that you are out here and committed to making a difference in the lives of their families,
mm-hmm.
you're going to start making money. But I
That's
said to her, if you are only about the sale, they are going to do the visit with you and buy the house from somebody else. And she
right.
put her hand on her hips and asked me, who are you talking to about me? I said, no, I'm just talking to you. She said, Daphne, that's the same thing that's happening. And I said, we have to show people that we are genuinely interested in them and making a difference in their lives. So
I'm thankful
that you have affirmed this morning.
Yes.
if there is someone who is listening this morning, it could be an adult or a young person, and they are thinking, I have a passion for food too. What kind of a checklist you would give them to start pursuing what their passion is?
Far as in the food or just in general?
Give us an overlap of both, because sometimes people have to step from one place to another. Some people
sure.
need to build certain skills before they can branch out. So,
right.
yeah, just give them something that you think will work.
I would say a checklist to find out that you're doing. One of the first key ingredients that you're doing what you would consider your passion is that I tell folks all the time, because people are amazed that I can work 15 to 20 hours and not complain and be happy. It's because what I'm doing doesn't feel like work, because it's not work, because it's my passion. So when you find that niche that you can do that you look forward to doing, then that's when you know that you're using the gift that you have or passion to share with the world. Because if you got to wake up and you got to hem and haw, man, I don't feel like going to that place, or I don't feel like, then that becomes work. So you're not going to be passionate about that, obviously. The second thing that would be a key ingredient in defining what your passion is to have a list of or core values, things that are non-negotiable. You obviously don't want to get yourself into a work environment where you got to start doing unethical things, you know, stabbing people in the back or misrepresenting your product or services to folks. And you just want to be honest, and you want to have that genuine passion to help people.
Yeah, with integrity. Whatever you do, you've
exactly.
got to do it honestly and with integrity.
Exactly. So that's the second key ingredient, I would say. And then the third and last ingredient I'm going to give you is to always continue to study your craft. I don't care if it's, you know, a magazine that you read.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in the world of internet, you can pull up many different videos on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
different type of online training. Barnes & Noble's is one of my favorite bookstores.
That's right.
You can go on there and get a plethora of information. You know, so you got to definitely keep studying your trade so that way you can learn the latest and greatest trends. But
mm-hmm.
you're just keeping yourself knowledgeable in two ways, because you keep that brain strong, and plus, you know, you're able to reinvent yourself, so to speak, because in
mm-hmm.
any business, you got to be able to reinvent yourself over and over and over again.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, continue. Was that five? I wasn't keeping a tab, so I don't know.
That was three.
Okay.
Let me see. I can give you two more. The fourth one that I would say is even if you're working for a company, you got to always have a set of goals. As you told me earlier, keep your journals, and I like
mm-hmm.
to separate the three, the personal,
mm-hmm.
the business, and the spiritual,
yep.
because that keeps you grounded and rooted in the main thing, focused,
mm-hmm.
because we're living in a world today where, what's the new term, ADD, where I would say probably about 90% of people are ADD, because everybody's texting or they're emailing, and nobody really stays focused like we
used to. And nobody talks to anybody anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, so, I have to tell you this. Hold your thought. Don't lose it. Somebody in the chat room said they can't wait to get the apple and walnut fried turkey.
Oh, for my Christmas dinners.
I'm telling you, the secret is out. The secret is out.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I'm actually have people picking up Christmas dinners on tomorrow. I do 15 different flavored fried turkeys.
You get
a choice of one of them. I do about 4 or 5 different hams.
Oh.
And you get all this to feed 8 to 10 people for just $79.99. So that's an investment of only about $8 a person.
Here I am salivating and drooling again. Oh! Mm-mm-mm. I'm telling you, you are just not right. You are not right. Yes. So back to what we're talking about, you know.
Yes. So you got to have your, got to keep your journal, so that way you keep grounded and focused, and you're always, you know, I explain to my children all the time. Every day that you wake up and you don't learn something new, or you don't challenge yourself to just push yourself, not even a whole lot further, but just a little bit further than you did the next day, then you didn't fulfill your purpose for that day. So you definitely have to keep raising the bar, you know, because last time I checked, nobody was able to see heaven from earth, so, you know, the bar has to continue to be raised.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You just got to do what is expected of you. And, you know, too many people keep looking around for other people's approval when God already gave them the blueprint.
Exactly.
You know, you have the blueprint, so why are you folding it up, stick it somewhere in a drawer, and keep calling John, Sophie, Derek, everybody else, who has not done anything with their blueprint either.
Right.
To find out.
And a lot of times people get stuck in their comfort zone. They're scared to stretch the comfort zone. You have to, you got to get uncomfortable sometimes to stretch yourself.
That's right. That's right. You got to stretch out there. And if you are not stretching, and if you're not feeling the pain, you are not growing.
That's the
and
truth.
Always look around for somebody that is doing something to associate with. Because what they say, all seek its own level. So if you are looking to excel and expand, you can't be around people who are not about anything.
That's because right. That's rub off on you.
That's right. That's who you are going to become. You need to be energized. Now we have 12 minutes remaining. Now it's 11. I want for you to just give your contact information, please, how people can get in touch with you. And then I'm going to ask you to summarize your thoughts.
All right. Well, there's a few different ways that folks can get in touch with me. My main website is cateringtoyourwhims.com. And I'm going to spell that out for you, CateringToYourWhims.com. Again, that's CateringToYourWhims.com. If you want to follow me along on Facebook, you can simply just type in www.chefkhalil.com, all one word, and that's CHEFKHALIL.com. Again, chefkhalil.com at Facebook. I want to make the callers a special offer for anybody that's listening to this call now, and anybody that downloads this call later into their iPod or podcast, whatever source of audio that you're listening to. If they visit CTYWHIMS.com. Again, that's CTYWHIMS.com. And you click on the tab there that says sign up for Chef Khalil's cooking tips. At the end of next month, I'm going to do a soft launch of my cookbook, and I'm going to send everybody that subscribes to that list a free copy of my e-cookbook for the soft launch for the end of January.
All
so
right.
And they can sign up at ctywhims.com.
And would you type, because you are in the chat room, can you just type the other addresses, please?
Sure.
In
I
there
sure
because
will.
I don't multitask too well here.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. So now we have 9 minutes remaining in this episode, and I need to talk with you sometimes off the air, not today because I have somebody coming up immediately after you, but there's something I need to speak with you off the air about.
Sure.
There's 9 minutes remaining, and if you could just use that to summarize our conversation today, and just some pointers you would like to leave the listeners with. And we will speak until the other guest calls in. So please go ahead.
Well, one of the things I definitely like to leave everybody with is, you know, as the old adage goes, the sky is the limit. Whatever your calling or your gift is, focus in on that gift, focus in on that calling. See how that gift or calling could help others, because I'm a strong believer if you help others, you're going to be blessed financially.
That's
you're going
right.
to be blessed spiritually, and you're just going to have an overall good feeling as
yes.
long as that's the motive of your heart to
yes.
help the other
yes.
folks.
Yes.
So I want to leave you with that. Also, keep, you know, raising the bar each day, because every day is a new opportunity for you to, you know, leave your mark and enhance your gift or your calling, so to speak. So you definitely want to, if you're not doing it now, get you a personal journal, spiritual journal, business journal. And business journal even applies if you're working for an organization right now, not your own company.
That's
and
right.
I say that to say that you still have certain goals and you're still an intricate part in that company's success until you find out, you know, what your niche is, and then you open
That's
your
right.
own company. Because I always try to inspire and empower people to always go after their dreams. You know, it's enough to help somebody else build their dreams, but each person should have their own dreams that they're trying to fulfill as well as their goals. So mm-hmm. whatever your passion may be, you know, if it's become an author, a speaker, you know, you have jewelry that you design, anything,
mm-hmm.
go for it. You know, again, the sky's the limit.
That's right. Because there's
mm-hmm.
one thing I always say, Chef Kelal, I'm still not pronouncing it right, but I'll get it, is that people tend to do a sloppy job on their job that they are being paid to do. And they
right.
keep saying, I can't wait till I have my own company. And I'm telling
right.
them, you're not going to have your own company until you start doing right where you are. Because
right.
when you start doing over and above and you exceed the expectation of your employer, that God is going to promote you to greater things. So
Absolutely.
do good where you are.
And when one of the things that I hear people just in general complain about is, you know, the job that they're on, they don't make enough money. Well, I'm going to give everybody the secret.
Mm-hmm.
The secret is this. I don't care if you make $20,000 a year, $50,000 a year, or $100,000+ a year. If you're not a good steward over what you have,
Amen.
God can't give you more.
That's right.
So you gotta show him that you can work with what you have.
That's right.
Be happy with what you have, and then the increase will come.
Amen, my brother.
But if you're constantly complaining about what you have, you're not being a good steward over what you have, he can't bless you with more.
That's right. That's the bottom line.
That
is the bottom line right there. And if you did not get anything else out of this segment today, this is a powerful nugget for all of you to listen to. You know something? A lot of times, believers / Christians, they envy people out there who they think is not saved based on their standard. But those people out there, they are good stewards. They are giving back to community. They are helping nonprofit organization, and they're doing all those stuff and really impacting the lives of young people and people that have different ministries. And guess what? They're getting all this blessing, and what they do, they call it luck because they don't have the true understanding of how Father blesses them. And a lot of Christians say, you know, but they're not saved. They shouldn't have that. I said they're not saved by your criteria, but they're doing what God wants them to do. And God is not a respecter of persons. You do what he expects you to do, he's going to reward you.
And that just goes back to just being obedient.
That's right.
Discipline at the same time.
That's right. You know, I am just so thankful that we spent this time in this conversation, and I want to remind you that you have stage here to come anytime. I look forward to networking with you in the years to come, and let me know how I can add value to the things that you are doing. I am only a tweet away. I'm only a phone call or an email away. I want to just commend you on the wonderful things that you are doing and encourage you to keep doing God's work and keep touching lives.
Thank you.
All right. So we will be talking again soon. And before you go, just remind the people of your contact information, please.
Yes, again, my main site is www.cateringtoyourwhims.com. You can catch me on Facebook at www.chefkahlil.com. That's C-H-E-F-K-A-H-L-I-L.com. Again, anybody that listens to this call or podcast, I'm going to offer a free e-cookbook by signing up at CTYWHIMS.com. Click on the link that says sign up for Chef's Cooking Tips to be added to the mailing list. And once I release that cookbook at the end of January, you will get a complimentary copy.
All right. Chef Kahlil, it was a blessing spending this time with you. And
the feeling is mutual.
Yes, I just look forward to our relationship expanding and us touching some lives together. You have a Merry Christmas and an exceptional 2010. And I pray that you'll find the time to hang around to listen to another amazing woman of God. So keep doing God's work, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And God bless.
God bless you, and you have a wonderful day.
You
Hello,
too.
Miss Arnold. Good morning. And how is the Georgia peach?
The Georgia peach is doing very well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. What's the weather like in Georgia today? And don't be bragging.
Well, in Atlanta, it's about 50 degrees. It is a beautiful, sunshiny day. I am sitting upstairs looking out of my windows, and it's really beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's a sunny day here, too, in Connecticut. It's a sunny, cold day.
Okay, so do you guys have snow?
Yes, we had snow this past weekend on Sunday. I think sometime after midnight. But to be honest, it was not too bad because I was just talking with Chef Kahlil out of New Jersey, and they had 20-something inches down there. So I said to God, Lord, I thank you because you know I got to shovel my own driveway. So I really don't like when it's too much snow.
Absolutely.
You know? So, well, thank you, Constance, for joining us this morning, and Merry Christmas to you, ma'am.
Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners. And
yes.
We're just declaring that 2010 would be the beginning of the best years of your life.
That's right, because we are positioning for a relaunch in 2010 and beyond, because there ain't no stopping us.
Absolutely.
Constance Arnold, let us tell the people who you are.
Well, I am a woman, obviously, who loves God. I am a born-again Christian, and I have about 20 to 25 years experience in counseling and coaching. I was in private practice for many years. For the last 15 years, I have been traveling all over universally and conducting leadership and staff development training. And so what God has put in my heart is, my mission and my purpose in life is to help people. Number one is to be an example in the earth, and number two is to help people identify whatever their limiting beliefs are, help them to take a look at the barriers that might be holding them back from living the successful, abundant, prosperous life that God intended for them to have. And as you know, I do have one of the most popular blog talk self-help shows on Blog Talk called the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And the whole purpose of that show is to bring on experts who can help my listeners go to the next level in their lives, because God created us to live abundantly. So basically, I am a coach, teacher, trainer. That's what I do.
Amen, amen. Now, the sister just pack it all in for you. And Constance and I have not met personally, but I keep telling people that with social media, you can connect with anybody God wants you to connect with. Because as I go through the different profiles of people on the internet, the Spirit will always halt me at a person I need to connect with. And Constance is one of those people. And as I was viewing and waiting to connect with her, God was working on her too, because I got a piece of communication from her asking about wanting to be on my show. And I said, I cannot believe this. Here I am looking to connect with her. And I said, God was working on her too as well. So, Constance, I thank you for being obedient and affirming the things that were placed in my heart as well.
Right. And, you know, for your listeners, I just want to share that is so exactly true, that we really need to be led by the Spirit, because for the entire year, basically, I've been behind on the other side of the mic. That means that I've been interviewing New York Times bestsellers and all the experts in the law of attraction. And so just about 2 months ago, the Spirit just said to me, now it's time for you to be on the other side of the mic, and I want you to begin contacting people so that you can share your 20, 25 years experience so that you can really help people to the next level. And so really, while you were saying you wanted to connect with me, I think that you're the only person that I've even sent an email to.
Isn't that something?
Amazing.
Isn't that something? Amazing. And it is such powerful affirmation about what God is doing in our lives. It's like yesterday morning, I did my devotion, read my Bible, and then I wrote my journal, and I closed the pages because I thought I was finished. And then the Spirit took over. I had to open the journal, and then I had another 3.5 pages that the Spirit placed on me that I had to write. And I called my friend, and I was talking to her about that. And I said, isn't it amazing when you listen? And during that prophecy that I was getting at that time, the Spirit said to me, read Ezekiel 10:5. And I look, and I didn't have that highlighted in my Bible any time during my life. So it simply means I did not pay any attention to that scripture. And I said, this is something that the Lord wanted me to know right now, that He's speaking, He's in control of every aspect of what's happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And after I read that scripture, I just said, God, thank you for fighting my battle. It's not mine anymore. It is totally yours because you speakest. And I close the pages. Mm. And, you know, I have been asking God to use me in other ways. Because I've been on this journey a while, and I just need to be sold out for him come 2010. I want to be totally sold out. And I know this is why he's connecting me with people who are already sold out, that we can add value, enhance, and embrace each other. So I just thank you for entering into my life.
You're more than welcome.
Let us talk about the beginning. And I know we don't have time to go into the whole 25 years. But let's talk about the humble beginnings. And then we can fast forward to the vision and legacy that you have created around Think, Believe, and Manifest.
Well, you know, for all of our listeners, the Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. I'm a country girl, grew up in Tennessee. My father only went to the fifth grade. I always knew that I was going to school, and so I had my master's degree by the time I was 22. Now, that was very performance-based, and I'm going to share what that means. That felt like I had to just perform, which is a form of doing instead of being. And so at 23 or 24, I knew that I wanted to be wealthy by the time I was 30. And so my thing was, I'm going to be wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. So even though I had gone to church all of my life, my focus was on money. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I became very successful, but there was just an emptiness there, and it was because I wasn't really serving God with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. And so I married a pastor, and that did not last. That lasted for about 10 years. And was very devastated behind that divorce. And so what I had to do was I had to begin to take a look at my behavior patterns. And I found out that when it came to money and relationships and my weight, those were the three issues that were just consistent patterns, threads that just ran through my whole life until I was in my 40s. And for our listeners, you can always tell what you truly believe by what's manifesting in your life, because it's really an inside job. And so the long and short of my story is that I said, God, I want to be whole. I want to be purposeful. And so everybody has a different path. I cannot define your path for you, but my path was counseling. It was support group. It was reading books. It was being brutally honest with people, and it was spirituality, completely giving myself to God on a daily basis as I know him. And as I began to do those things and seek him first, not have my mind on money, but have my mind on my mission. And so what happened for me was I started my own business, consulting business, in 1997, and it was a training and consulting company. Before I launched out, I submitted myself to my mentors. I had three. I think you need somebody higher than you are in every area to help you. Mm-hmm. And so the long and short of that story is the first year I said, is it time for me to go out and leave my job? They said no, and I submitted myself to them. Second year, the same thing. The third year, because you have to get yourself ready. You have to be prepared for success. The third year, I went out, and that year I made $150,000. Why? Because I had been prepared. And what God spoke to me was never money, people first, mission first, and money will follow.
Exactly.
And so that's what I've done.
Yeah, I just want to piggyback on something you said in your earlier statement, that when you was not walking spiritually and you did not connect with that, you was thinking about wealth. But wealth to you then meant money versus wealth meaning spirituality, soul, body, and all of that. Because there are many dimensions to wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are stuck on the money portion of that. But as you just rightfully say, relationship, weight, was your problem or challenge rather at that time. You identified. You did an assessment of self. You identify what your struggles were, and you focused on that in order to make right what was not right. And that there is a powerful thing for a lot of us who are on this show or who are listening.
Well, you know, that's so true because it's an inside job. And whatever is manifesting outwardly, whatever is being outpictured outwardly in your life is what's going on the inside. Go inward first. They're saying if we would go inward first, 1 hour of meditation, prayer, and whatever your spirituality is equals 6 hours of action. And so even with my show, that thing, what I do is the whole year, my goal was not to have the number one show. My goal was to serve and to love people and to help take them to the next level. As a matter of fact, I never even advertised any of my products for 9 months.
That's right.
And it
That's
was
right.
only recently, because it's not about me trying to sell my book and me trying to sell my coaching, because people will be drawn to my spirit. They will
That's
be
right.
drawn to who I am. And so what I did was in love and obedience and service that I have served the world. And so scientifically, even Einstein says that everything goes in circles. What does that mean? That means that when you give, it will be given back to you. The law of sowing and reaping, the law of cause and effect. And so
That's
when
right.
you hug the world, you're really hugging yourself. And so for me, the lesson that I've learned for your listeners, Daphne, is that don't try to get, but give. And when you give, and you're giving in love, and you're giving in service, then it will come back to you. And so when they told me, did you know that your show was one of the most popular in self-help? I did not know that. I was not aware of that. That was not my intention. My
That's
intention
right.
was to serve.
You know, and I'm just listening to what you're saying, and I said, no wonder God connects us together. Because I've been doing this blog talk show since March, and I have not sold a dime on this show. And it was just maybe about a month ago I started mentioning about my website, because my focus was on educating, inspiring, and empowering my listeners to greater things in their lives. And people said, oh, you do so much volunteer, and you're always running to do this, and you're always running to do that. And I said, isn't it amazing how God gives me the energy to do all of that?
Right.
And they look at me strange because I say, it's not about me.
Right. And they don't realize that when you're giving, just like Einstein says, that it will come back to you. And, and personally, to be honest with you, when I'm on a show and every 10 minutes the person is advertising their e-book, that says that that's about them, because when people feel your spirit, they will be drawn to you. That's just a very interesting part about it. I remember Paula White said that she never advertised. And she, for those of you who don't know who she is, she's a mighty preacher and a mighty woman of God. She said she never had a business card. She never advertised to speak. Her whole goal was to be with God. That means developing your inner self and then to serve and to give. And then when you do that, then it comes back to you.
You know, Constance, it's interesting that you say that. A few months ago, I had a certain person on this show. And then I always follow up by email or sometimes telephone call to ask the person about their experience on the show. And this person said to me, well, I checked my sales site and I did not sell any book. And I said to myself, oh, God, I thank you for letting me telephone her versus on the email. And I said to her, well, let me apologize for my miscommunication to you when I invited you on the show. I said my invitation to you on the show was not about selling your book, but it was about you sharing your story and your expertise to help to educate, inspire, and empower my listeners. I said, I thought I mentioned that on the telephone and that I did put on the email this same thing. I don't recall mention anything about promoting and selling your book.
Right. But see, when you're walking in, I mean, there are universal laws. Like, my show is about the law of attraction, and basically it says that whatever you continue to think, feel, and focus on at a deep level is what you're going to get in your life, and like attracts like, and thoughts become things. And so if I'm giving in love, and my thoughts are love, and I'm serving, then that will come back to me. And when you do that, you send out a certain vibration or energy, and the same comes back to you. And so your focus, because a prosperity mind is really inward. And so if you're really prosperous in your being and all of your thoughts all day long are just prosperous and serving and giving and sharing, then that has to come back to you. And I think a lot of times a lot of people's outside is sort of based in fear because there is a law of abundance. There's no scarcity. There's abundance. There's prosperity. There's enough for everybody. So if I give, eventually, it may not be on your show, but eventually it will come back to me wave after wave.
That's right. That's right. Because we don't need to be selfish. Like
right.
We were talking about on the, my first guest had mentioned that although I asked him to speak about his success, he said, it's really not about me. And he
Absolutely.
Is right. It is not about him. I always like for my listeners to understand where the guests are coming from because they need to be intimately connected to you. And they say, well, if this person can do it, so can I. Here you are talking about your stories at the early age. You got a master's degree, but you know it was not about that.
Right.
Education is good, but it's not always about the education. You had to find out, what's God's purpose for my life?
Right. And I had to realign my thinking and what I truly believe about what God wanted for my life. And what I think are some things that really stop people from really walking out their purpose, if I might share that, would be their core belief systems, what they truly believe, you know, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not smart enough, that I'm too old or I can never do that. Because remember, whatever you think about at a deep level, whatever you focus on, whatever you put your attention on, you're going to get more of that. So I believe that that's why people are not walking in their purpose and destiny. And then a lot of people feel that they're not deserving. I don't
that's
deserve
right.
money. I don't deserve love. And so I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not lovable. I'm not acceptable. And so until you identify what you truly believe about yourself, when 2010 rolls around, you will continually get the same thing because
that's right.
we really create our own reality by what we think and feel and believe. So if today,
right.
during the Christmas season, you're feeling, oh, my God, it's another year, and I'm just so sad, and I'm by myself, and I don't have enough money, you're sending that out. You're sending those vibrations out.
And
so your thoughts and your feelings today are creating your tomorrow. And so
that's
that
right.
I think that people really need to go inwardly and take a look at their core belief systems. What do you truly believe? If your core
That's
belief
right.
is the sky's the limit, then the sky's the limit. If your core belief is I'm a woman and I can't do that, then you
That's
can't do
it.
It.
That's right. You know, I always think that everybody needs to have a few huge mirrors around their homes. Because occasionally, wherever you are, you need to stop and look in the mirror and see who is looking back at you. And what is your assessment of that person staring back at you? Because until you are able to look that person and give a genuine assessment of what that person is about and what they are doing, you are not going to be moving. Because people keep going around constants and pointing fingers. It's the administration's fault. It's the parents' fault. It's the neighbor's fault. It's the dogs, the cat, the chicken. Everybody's fault besides yours. You need to take responsibility for the person you want to become. Because when we enter this world, God handed us the blueprint. Because as my mentor and friend, Dr. Miles Monroe says, is that before that sperm was fertilized, God knew why he was creating you for a purpose. Well, I have this problem, and I, Constance Arnold, you are going to be the one that is to solve this problem. So he already gives us the blueprint. So we need to find out what problem we are created to solve and set our way up in order to have this manifested in our lives.
Well, I agree with that 100%. Can I give your listener just a little tips on how they can begin to move forward and how they can
begin to change their lives? Before we end, I will have you do that. I want you to do that towards the end.
I just
need us to continue in our dialogue and conversation more about think, believe, and manifest. And that towards the end, I'm going to have you give your information and give them that list.
Okay. Well, and the information I was talking about was what we're going to talk about now, is think, believe, and manifest.
Okay.
And
awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Okay.
Okay. So all of my listeners, I want y'all to listen very carefully, because I knew that there was greatness on the inside of me. I knew that I was supposed to be successful. I knew that I was supposed to have love. But what was that thing that was holding me back? And it was my thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to share with you some universal laws about thinking. What I said earlier, whatever you continually think, feel, and focus on at a deep level is what you become. And so your primary thoughts of, I'm not going to make it, the economy is too hard, I'm too old to get married, or I will meet somebody, whatever you think is going to expand and manifest in your life. So I want you to think of yourself as a giant magnet, if you could just picture that in your mind. And whatever you continually think and feel, whether or not it's love or fear or happiness, or you're grateful that it's the holidays, or you're joyful, you are like a magnetic force,
mm-hmm.
just like a force that attracts and draws to you those same events, conditions, and circumstances in direct correlation to how you feel. And so changing your thinking, monitoring your thinking, is really what you need to do. So why is it, Daphne, that people are not manifesting in their lives? And I believe it's because people have their mind on what they don't want. For
mm-hmm.
example, let's talk about money. Everybody wants money or desires money. I don't like the word want.
Desire.
And so most people focus on what they don't want, so you keep getting what you don't want.
That's
for example, if you desire to have more money, I need more money. I need more money coming in. I need more prosperity, but you're focusing on, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't
mm-hmm.
know how I'm going to pay this bill. So
mm-hmm.
as long as you focus on lack,
that's
you will stay and you will get the same thing. So all the listeners, listen to this. Keep your mind, your feelings, your attention, and your emotions only on what you want, not
That's
on
right.
what you don't want.
That's right. That's right.
And so that is a principle. And sometimes when it comes to money or love, it's just so difficult for us. Even myself during the holidays, I'm a single woman right now. And so, you know, you look at television, you see everybody happy and in love and wonderful and holding hands and singing Have Yourself a Merry Christmas and going to the mall and buying diamonds. But I made a quality decision. My mind is already on my love, my marriage. I'm going through the holidays joyfully. I'm grateful for everything that I have. And so keep your focus only on what you want. So
That's
that would
right.
be the first thing. And then the second thing would be to every day just deliberately create your day. You can get up and say, today only good is going to come to me. Only happiness is going to come to me. So you deliberately create your day by what you observe. That means what you look at. You might not need to look at a lot of television. I realized a couple of weeks ago that I was going to stop looking at Tiger Woods and what he was doing and what he wasn't doing. Because remember, listeners, everything you see, everything you hear, everything that comes out of your mouth your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate will impact what happened to you in 2010. So every day, get up and deliberately create your day. I'm going to have a good day today. I'm going to be joyful today. I'm going to feel great today. I'm going to give today, because in this earth, God has made you a God in this earth, and you deliberately create, you can deliberately create your day.
That's right. That's right.
And so the second thing I want to say, what can you begin to do to get ready for 2010? And boy, this is the main subject. Get clear about what you want. What do you want for 2010? Do you want a car? What kind of a car? Do you want a black car? Do you want a Mercedes? Do you want an SUV? Do you want a sports convertible? Get clear about what you want. And how do you get clear about what you want? Well, this is what my mentors taught me. The way you get clear about what you want is to write down what you don't want. Now, that sounds a little strange. Why would I write down what I don't want? Because when you write down what you don't want, it makes it very clear about what you do want. Let's just use money for example. What you don't want is, I don't want to have to be concerned about money in 2010. I don't want to have to live paycheck to paycheck. I don't want to have to be worried about money. I don't want to have to check my account daily. And I don't want to be unsuccessful like I was in 2009 financially. That's what you don't want. So you write that down, and when you write that down, remember, clarity is the key to your success. When you clear about what you want, you clear out the whole spirit world, and the whole universe is beckoning to help you. And then after you find out what you don't want, you rewrite it. What do you want? I want to earn from different streams of income $10,000, $100,000, excuse me. So why are you so clear about that? Because you clearly know what you don't want. I want to have freedom and creativity flowing in my life because I have no money concerns. Mm-hmm. I want to have a plan that brings in streams of income. I want to take my family on vacations. I want to be able to invest in the stock market again. So writing down what you don't want makes you very clear about what you do want. And Daphne, I would say to you that lack of clarity, not knowing what you want, and not setting an intention, an intention is just an aim or a goal or a dream, not knowing what you want is the number one reason that people are not successful.
Exactly. So, and, you know, just hold your thought there. Mm-hmm. And this is why vision is so important, because a lot of people are going around stressing themselves about accomplishing goals. And they are not accomplishing these goals because they do not have a clear vision about what it is they want. And until those visions are clear to you, you will not be able to manifest these goals. So this is powerful things that you're talking about. Go ahead.
You're fine. Come on. We're just conversating here. You're so right about that. I just love the way you put that, because getting clear, having clarity, have a clear understanding of what you want is your first step for 2010. Mm-hmm. Now, 3% of the population is wealthy, and 3% of the population have their goals written down. Mm-hmm. And for your listeners, this is what you need to do. You need to write down what you want in every area. It was only when I wrote down $100,000, that thing that really money, $100,000 came to me.
That's right.
Like in my own life personally, I only do three things. I coach, I speak, and I train. That's all I do. I'm very clear about that.
That's right.
I do very little counseling these days. Those are the three things, so I'm clear about what I want. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, in a relationship, what do you want in a relationship? This is what you need to do. Remember, writing down what you don't want. I don't want a man who is an alcoholic. I don't want a man who's not committed to God. I don't want a man who has 10 children. Writing down what you don't want. I don't want a man who doesn't have a job. Writing down what you don't want brings clarity about what you do want. I want a God-fearing man. And so when you're clear about what you want and you begin to meditate on that,
let's just say $100,000, and every day you're just thinking $100,000 and feeling it, then ideas will begin to come to you. Why is that? Because you are very clear about what you want.
That's right. See yourself going to the bank.
Right,
deposit
right.
That $100,000. I mean, you know.
And remember, clarity is your ticket to success.
That's right. That's right.
And so I want all your listeners to let go of their limitations and avoid making decisions based on whether you believe you deserve it or not, whether you feel like you can afford it or not, or whether you feel like you can work it out. Because remember, once you become clear about it and you release it to God of the universe, then all of the forces in the world, in the universe, God will send people to support. He'll give you an idea to take you to the next level. So begin to just unleash your imagination and imagine what your life will be like once you are very clear about what you want in this one particular area.
Yeah, because, you know, the person in the cubicle next door is not our problem. The
right.
neighbor is not our problem. We are the ones that are standing in our own ways, and we are tripping ourselves up. So we need to be clear about what we want, who we are, and to whom we belong. When
right.
we have that thing in order, and we want to turn it around, when you realize to whom you belong, you know that every good thing that is in your spirit, you are deserving of it. And so long as you get clear on it, the universe is faithful and honest. It delivers. The universe is not going to take what's mine and give it to Constance and vice versa. It is going to deliver me what is mine so long as I captivate it and, you know, just horn into it and to make sure that I'm on target with what God wants me to do.
Right. That's great insight. You're so right about that. And then our second step is, of course, you know, you're watching what you think. You're watching what you feel about your intention. When you get clear about something, you're watching your feelings, et cetera. And the second thing is to take small baby steps toward your intention. I had Dr. John DeMartini on my show from The Secret, and he said something very profound to me. He said, Constance, if you would do one thing every day towards your goal, what would your business like be like at the end of the year? If you would do one thing towards your weight, ladies and gentlemen, what would your body be like at the end of the year? If you would do one thing daily towards your love life or your relationships, what would your life be like? And so I say take small baby steps. And you
small
said, well,
baby
Constance,
steps.
Not large steps, but baby steps, because small baby steps turns into big dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Small. It may be an email. It may be a phone call. And I call it taking inspired action. And once you are clear about what you want, just get quiet every day. I call it an hour. Power doesn't have to be an hour. And then the Spirit will speak to you and may say, send the email or create a newsletter. And
mm-hmm.
those are just small baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
I call it inspired action.
That's
you know,
right.
That you can just take every day. And then begin to see yourself. Before you go to sleep at night, you got to remember that your subconscious or spirit is most open when you go to sleep at night.
That's right.
And then when you wake up. And so see yourself with what you desire, with all the feeling, the color, the imagination, the excitement. If you were to win $1 million, how would you feel? You would be like, oh, my God. So that kind of emotion, because thought without passion and emotion is just a thought.
You know something, Constance? I used to have a neighbor that has one son,
mm-hmm.
and that little boy, he used to go to kindergarten, and if I go into that house, when he comes home, he calls me D. He would say to his mother, oh, Ma, D was here. And she said, how did you know that, Kyle? And he said, I smell her perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what time of day. And I learned something from that statement with that little boy. I said, that's how I need to be with my vision and my mission and my goals.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I need to smell it everywhere I go. I said, I need to taste it. I need to experience the result. I said, same way my perfume linger for this little boy to identify me by, I need to have the same passion about my goals. And there's just little things that happen around you that ties you into what you are all about.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're so right about that, that you need to be so passionate that you can feel it, you can sense it, that you know it's coming, and that you really have what you desire even before you get it. And they call it the Neville method. I call it Mark 11:23-24, that when you pray, believe, you receive it. And what does that mean? That means that you get the feeling and you stay in that feeling as if you already have it now. So you're really living in the now, because all you have is the now.
That's right.
So what you do is you become grateful to God for what you have before you get it. Because
that's right.
Gratitude is a spiritual, powerful force. And so when you're grateful, that shows God in the universe, oh, she believed that she has it now.
That's
oh,
right.
He believed that he already has it. And so it is a powerful process for shifting your energy or your spirit and bringing more of what you want into your life. So remember I said earlier that thoughts are magnetic. So when you have thoughts of gratitude, thank you that I'm making $100,000 a year.
That's right. That's
thank
right.
you that I have streams of income. Then when you begin to be grateful before you get it, you're saying to God, oh, this person really believes. Then all the angels, all the spirits, people will begin to come to you, because remember that your thoughts magnetically attract to you all things that are on the same frequency.
Right. Because the universe doesn't know you are joking. So people are saying a lot of these negative things, and these things are manifesting in their lives, and they wonder why. I tell people, I say, the universe don't know you're joking, so stop saying silly stuff, because
right.
the stuff you give energy to is what you are getting. You get up every day, you say those things, and they multiply and they multiply and they multiply. Oh, but I'm only joking. The universe doesn't know you're joking. So
that's
give
so
the
true.
Universe and give your angels something to work with.
That is so. Thank you for bringing that up, because words are powerful and words are creative. And one thing that the Spirit brought to my mind is that when you don't say anything, nothing has happened. Because
that's
you
right.
got to remember that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that you really create your world. You frame your world with your words and with your tongue. And so what are you saying on a daily basis about your goal or your intention for 2010?
That's
and so
right.
when you say things, God, I thank you for the money coming in from different sources. I thank you in advance for the new love that you have coming into my life. I thank you that my children are disciplined, that they're doing well at school. And so when you speak the word, you are made in the image and likeness of God. And
That's
so
right.
you're really creating your own world in 2010. And
That's
when
right.
you don't say anything, God said to me one time, Constance, you're not saying anything, so nothing is happening.
That's right. Because, you know, we can rewrite the script of our lives anytime we so desire.
Right.
Because we have the power. The power is in the tongue. That's the pen to write a new script. So if you don't like the script today, Wednesday, Thursday, rewrite it. Don't sit around and linger on that same negative manuscript you wrote 20 years ago. Scratch it, shred it, and start writing the new script in your life that you deserve.
Well, you cannot continually beat the drum of what is and get
That's
something
right.
different. And so if you're beating the drum of, I don't have enough, it's hard out here, 2009 was hard, you're going to get the same thing that you've been getting. But if you begin to tell a different story about your life, you cannot tell the same story and get a different story. So
That's
just
right.
see your life as telling a different story. 2010 is going to be the beginning of some of the best years of my life.
That's
I'm going
right.
to be in the best physical shape I've ever been in 2010.
That's right.
I'm going to be joyful in 2010.
That's right.
So just begin to tell a different story about your life. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, associations, which is
yeah,
what we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. before you go there, I want to do some due diligence because I get so caught up into the conversation, and, you know, I have not welcomed the people that are in the chat room for this show since we started. And I do apologize to each of you. I thank you for coming by and for stopping and for showing us some love. I really love each and every one of you, and I want to encourage you, please call in. I just love to hear people talk on the line. So remember, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And I'm in conversation with Miss Constance Arnold out of Atlanta, Georgia. So now that I've done my due diligence, ma'am.
Well, hello to all the people in the chat room. And guess what? I do that sometimes myself on my own show, so I certainly understand.
Oh, I don't multitask too well. And that's all right, because I need to maintain the valuable brain cells. And I have a producer who lives in another state, and she's on vacation. She has not signed on in a couple of weeks. But love all the people, and they understand. Yes.
Well, I just want to talk a little bit before we leave about associations and
yes.
how important that is. And somebody said birds of a feather flock together.
Oh, yeah.
Birds of a feather flock together, and you fly to the same destination. And so Stephen Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, said that mm-hmm. you will become like the 7 people who you associate with.
That's right.
And so it's very important in my own life personally. I only have movers and shakers and spiritual people in my inner circle. I will reach out to the world, but I only have successful people in my inner circle. And that doesn't mean money. It may be spiritual. I have mm-hmm. somebody higher than I am. What do I mean by that? Somebody who has more knowledge than I
mm-hmm.
do, financially, emotionally, physically, so that it can take me to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot afford to have negative thinking or talking people in your life, because it's hazardous to your health, hazardous
mm-hmm.
to your purpose, and hazardous to your dream. And
that's
so I
right.
would say in 2010, take a look, because, you know, some people are just in your life for a season. And I'm the kind of person, I would hold on to relationships just very intensely. And God had to show me, Constance, I'm through with that. That was good for that season, but now I'm through with that. I have something new and different for you. And so if you do not release the old, God cannot bring you the new.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
The people in your life, I mean, look at Donald Trump. Who would Donald Trump have around him? He would have successful thinking, people who are very successful in their doing around him, because he realizes that when you come together and when you collaborate, that you have to have like-minded people. And so some of you may need to decide, well, you know, in this relationship is draining me. They're always calling me, wanting something from me. It's not mutual reciprocal. That means
mm-hmm.
he gives, I give. And you need to really take an inventory of, is this relationship adding value to me?
That's right.
Is the season for this relationship over with? And so that's how you do that. And next to your relationship with God, who
That's
you
right.
have in your life is very, very important. I know that in my life personally, because I am a giver and I'm always wanting to help people, I looked at my life and everybody, I was smarter than everybody around me.
Time to move.
And
time
I was
to move.
Giving. I was giving, and the Spirit said to me, you've got to go higher. So
mm-hmm.
now in my life, everybody around me is either on my level or higher.
That's right. If you're the smartest one in the group, it's not. You don't need anybody to tell you is move on. So just take your exit gratefully. You know,
right.
gracefully. Just let the people know it's time to move on. Because a lot of times when you linger there, when you have outgrown your association, you are stunning the growth of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else needs to step up a level. Step up a notch, and you are still there lingering. Move out the way and let somebody get breathing room. So don't be sitting there. Know when the season has ended.
Right.
And just exit gracefully.
And you'll know when the season has ended because you won't feel comfortable. You may
That's
feel
right.
bored in that relationship. Every time they call, you're just like, oh, my God. And the Bible says iron sharpens iron.
That's
and
right.
That means that he'll put somebody in your life that's really sharp that would help to take you to the next level. And so when a relationship has run its course, you know, just release it. And that other person is probably feeling the same thing that you're feeling. And so
that's
remember
right.
what I said to you earlier, God cannot bring the new unless you release the old.
That's right. And don't feel guilty, because a lot of times people are sitting there based on past experiences. Oh, I don't want to do that. You need to just get up and go. You
right,
know,
just
right. get up and go. Have the fortitude, have the guts to just move, because you are holding back yourself and you're holding back each other.
Right.
In this life, we have to develop tunnel vision. When we are about God's business, Father's business, develop a tunnel vision. This way, you're not looking right, you're not looking left. You just keep looking forward and focusing on the journey that He has you on.
You're so right. And, you know, and just basically in summary, I want to say this before our time is up. I think that everybody needs to take the beginning of the year before you even write anything down or write what your intentions are. It's just to go in with one-on-one, you and God, you and spirit, and just be quiet before God and in God, and take a season of meditation and preparation before you even write anything down, and say, God, what is your plan for my life? What should I be doing this year? And really submit those things to God even before you become clear about what you want, because it's only when you've been in the presence of God or Spirit that you can become clear about what you want. So
exactly.
I would encourage you to do that. Just spend quiet time. I know at the beginning of the year, I normally take a week or two where I don't do a lot of talking. The only thing I'm going to do is my show, and I'm just kind of quiet just before God, because God says He knows the plan that He has for you, that He's already ordered your steps. Your steps are ordered of God. And so I would encourage you all to do that, and then get clear about what you want, and then take small baby steps, and then change the people that you're around, and then be grateful for what you desire prior to getting it, and see yourself walking in it.
Mm-hmm. You know, That is such a wonderful encouragement and affirmation that you have just passed on. Because I have noticed in my line of work, and when I do retreats and all of that,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to around the activity of quiet time, people are freaking out. Because adults, kids do it better. Adults, they are not accustomed to quiet time. And I observe people as I walk around observing people carry out this assignment, and people are there focusing on what they need to do, meditating or prayer or writing, whatever they choose to do with the time. And there are others who are trying their best to distract them and to disturb them. And I said, I'll jot little notes down of how interesting that is. And yet when I have younger people in attendance, they don't have a problem with that. Because they're accustomed from kindergarten to take nap time.
Right.
And they set time and they wake up more revived and more focused. And I personally, for me, Constance, it is during my quiet moments that I get clarity and affirmation on a lot of the things which God wants me to do.
Well, absolutely, because the Bible says, be still and know. Know
That's
what?
Right.
Know what I'm supposed to do. Know
right.
what my plans are for 2010. So one of the main things that I'm doing is meditating. What does that mean for our listeners? It's different for different people. That means you're quiet. You
mm-hmm.
might need to turn the television off for a season. You
the
might
telephone,
need to stay
yep.
the telephone. You might need to stay off Twitter and Facebook for a season, because those are all external things. And remember, as I said earlier, your outward life is just an out picturing of what's on the inside. It is an inside job. If you would go in first, spend time with spirit on the inside, you wouldn't have to be doing so much activity, because really what you want to develop is a consciousness. And the universe doesn't compensate you based on activity or work. It compensates you based on your consciousness, your awareness, your knowing. And when you know something, you can do it. And so that would be my encouragement for the listeners. If you would do that, 2010 could just be the beginning of some of the best years of your life.
Yes. We still have 10 minutes remaining, and I want to let the listeners know you still have time to call in. The number is 646-915-8166, and I'm in conversation with Ms. Constance Arnold out of Atlanta, Georgia. Would you, Constance, please take a few minutes and give the listeners your contact information, please?
Okay, and I'm not going to linger on this, but my website is www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And my email address is constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. You can go on there and look at my products. And if you feel led, if you feel that it will help you, you can purchase my products. And I do a talk show every Sunday on the Law of Attraction Radio Network at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where I interview New York Times bestsellers on success principles and the Law of Attraction.
All right. And now, we have 9 minutes remaining. I'm going to give you 6, and I'm going to take 3.
Well, I want to let you know how much I appreciate and applaud you for the work that you're doing. I certainly understand the price that you have to pay in prayer and preparation in order to serve others. And I just want to encourage you that the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, that you will reap if you faint not. And I applaud you, and my declaration over your life is that you will receive 100-fold for what you're doing. And it may not look like anything is happening, but it has to happen because it's a law. And I just want to personally thank you for allowing me to come on your show and share some information with your listeners that will help to take them to the next level.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, because, you know, servant leadership, it's where it is about. A lot of people that I know, they keep pointing out to me how much I'm doing. I'm running here and I'm running there. And I said, you know, I'm running about Father's business, and he energizes me for all that I'm doing. So your encouragement means a lot to me. And I thank him for all the powerful people that he have brought in my life, people like D.A. Williams, people like you, Dr. Miles Monroe, Chef Khalil, and numerous people that God have brought in my path, that without them I would not able to be doing what I'm doing here. Their support and their prayers every day that I get up, I am so excited about this journey that I am on for him. And I just continue praying that he continue to bless me with the people that can deposit and invest in my listeners, so that they can really follow through and they won't die and go to the graveyard without their music being played, their poetry being read and recited, their books being written, or their master chef being served to different people around the world, because God has created all of us for a purpose.
Right. And that's my whole purpose today of being on the show, not to sell products, but to share information and knowledge. And I believe that since you and I are in faith, that people's lives will be dramatically changed. All you need to do is just take one of the principles that I shared, and you can remarkably shift and change your life so that this time next year you won't even recognize yourself.
Because
you would have changed, and your life would be so abundant, and your life would be full and prosperous. And people will look at you and say, what happened to you? So all it takes is one word from God, one principle from God to really change your life. And so I'm going to encourage you to just listen to this again and get out a pen and paper. And if something jumps out at you, that may be the missing piece or the missing ingredient in your life that you need to take you to the next level. And just begin to take small baby steps, every day toward what you dream or what your desire is. And this time next year, you won't recognize yourself. And I guess the last thing that I want to say is that, and just be grateful. Be grateful for what you have. And when you're grateful for what you have, the more will come to you. And gratitude and the words of your mouth and imaginations are powerful forces that can really rearrange the landscape of your life. And just
right.
every day deliberately use those tools so that it can take you to the next level.
That's right. And I want the Spirit just laid on my heart to launch a competition, not really competition, but to launch an assignment to the listeners that next December, this time, we want to have a segment, which I will invite Constance back to. We want that segment of that show to be a testimony from people who have harnessed and put into practice the things, the nuggets that Constance has shared today and what it has done to their lives. So it doesn't matter whether you're listening live or you will listen on the archive. Come the couple days before Christmas next year, 2010, we want to hear from you about the ways you have embraced and practice the principles that Constance have shared, and you know, what are you experiencing in your life at that time? We are going to look forward to hearing from you on that. My sister, yeah, you were going to say something?
I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to come and share with your listeners. It was an honor. I appreciate you, and I honor you for the great work that you're doing.
Okay, I thank you, my sister, because a lot of people at this Christmas time would be thinking, I don't have time to come. It's time to shop for the holidays and all of that. And I thank you for coming and spending time with the listeners. I've had people who were on the phones earlier on listening. I thank the people who are in the chat room. I pray for you and your family to have an amazing, enjoyable, lovable, and peaceful Christmas. And don't take your eyes off the true reason for the season, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to let you know, give you something to think about over the holidays after you finish embracing your families, that between April the 22nd and the 25th, I will be presenting a vision conference up in Southbury, Connecticut. And our early registration will begin in the first week of January. So I look forward for your support and look for you to be there. We will let you know who the speakers are. We are having a powerful lineup of speakers from different places. We are expecting some people from overseas. So we will keep you informed on that. And I pray that you have one of the best Christmas ever. And look forward to relaunching in 2010 for an amazing, abundant, successful life. Remember that you do not have to settle for mediocrity, because you have the ability to create excellence. I want you to stay blessed. Stay focused and follow your destiny. God love you.
What's the plight that you've called me to? the thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Because we were so late in doing all this stuff for the conference in Southbury, I had to change the date to April. So with that happening, people are not going to be, they don't want to commit to the money until sometime in February. And that's why I have put in the application to the place I told you in New Jersey. So I submitted the one sheet that they wanted, and I asked the gentleman that if I could hear from him before the Christmas break, I would appreciate it. So I'm waiting to hear back from them, and then I will let you know about that. You can give me a call back if you want. I just got off the radio. It's now 4 minutes past 12. Thank you. Bye-bye. Daphne, Nancy was calling me when I was doing the radio show and I couldn't answer her. I just called and left her a message. Well, this is what happened. We have to change the date for the conference to April 22nd through the 25th because everything was late with the hotel getting me the information and all of that. So with that happening, the collaborative partners are not willing to give up any money until towards the end of February, they say. So I have put an application into this place in New Jersey that helps small business with working capital. They wanted an executive summary, which I sent over to them, and I'm waiting to hear back from them. I asked them if I could hear from them before the Christmas holiday. So I am waiting to hear from them about that. So that's the new development on that. I look forward to talking with you, and if I don't talk with you before Christmas, please have
extension. Press star 8. To reach the receptionist, press 0. Your call is being transferred to the receptionist. You have reached the desk of Nancy Esposito. I'm in. Delivers 100% of minutes announced if used in a single call. Please enter your PIN number now. You have 716. Please enter your destination number now. AT&T. To continue in English, press 1. Para continuar en español, this call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance. Thank you for calling AT&T. You've reached the Credit and Account Receivable Management Center. This system is available 24 hours a day to give you access to your account information, make a payment, and enroll in automatic bill payments. Using your touchtone keypad, please enter the 10-digit phone number you were calling about. You entered 860-355-9838. If that's right, press 1. Please wait while I access your account. For faster service, the next time you call AT&T about your account, please dial 1-800-288-2020. Again, that number is 1-800-288-2020. Please hold while I connect your call.
Welcome to AT&T. For English, say English or press 1.
Para español.
I see you're calling from 860-355-9838. Is that the phone number listed on your AT&T account?
Yes.
Thanks. I'll just look that up. Now, in a few words, please say the purpose of your call. You can say things like, I'd like to pay my bill, or I want new phone service.
Report a payment.
Which would you like? Make a payment, set up a payment, arrangement, payment, locations, or buy payment?
Report a payment.
I think you said automatic payments. Is that correct?
No.
My mistake. Please say make a payment, set up payment, arrangement, payment, location, or automatic payment. You can also say something else.
Something else.
If you want to tell AT&T about a payment you've already made, say report payment.
Report payment.
Okay, just to verify, what's your customer code? The customer code is a 3-digit number found immediately following your telephone number at the top of your bill. Okay. All right, report a payment. First, when did you make this payment?
The 18th of December.
Sorry, I still didn't understand. Say or enter the date you made your payment. To enter the date, enter the 2-digit month, followed by the 2-digit day, followed by the 2-digit year. Or and how much did you pay? $37,300. Is that correct?
No.
My mistake. Please say how much your payment was for.
373 dollars.
Sorry, I didn't understand. Please say how much your payment was for.
$373.
That was $373. Is that correct?
Yes.
Finally, how did you make your payment? You can say in person, by mail, or on the web.
By mail.
I think you said you mailed it in. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, just to confirm, you made a payment on December 18th, 2009 in the amount of $373, and you paid by mail. Is that right?
Yes.
Is there anything else I can help you with? Please say yes if you'd like to continue with another request, or say no to complete your call.
No.
Okay. Now, did you accomplish what you wanted to on this call?
Yes.
Great. And rating your experience using this system on a scale from 1 to 5, with 1 being very dissatisfied and 5 being very satisfied, what's my score?
5.
Great. Thanks for calling AT&T. Goodbye.
Delivers 100% of minutes announced if used in a single call. Please enter your PIN number now. You have 70 cents. Please enter your destination number now.
Hello, Chef Carlisle.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How did you enjoy the show?
Oh, I had a good time.
Good. I'm glad you had a good time. I had a wonderful time, too. And it is just, it was just so amazing how I scheduled you and Constance on the same day, because it's like all three of us is so connected spiritually, man.
Exactly.
It was such a...